Supergirl did indeed bomb at the box office. That's no surprise. But what if we told you James Gunn just might be done sooner rather than later? And how soon is soon? Well, the news is now reporting as Hollywood gets ready to take him down, it could be his time to fall even before the end of the year. Is he the new Kathleen Kennedy only on a shorter time span? We'll tell you on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Pro Channel, where we as ever endeavor to explain entertainment. Keeping you ahead of the culture curve is what we do it with a zeal that even the Holly Weirds can feel. Lauren Conner is with us today, and Lauren is ready to jump in with me, as is becoming a tradition now, Lauren, doing these Mondays together. I love it, Lauren. We get together on Sunday nights and record these, and they go out the next day, and it's becoming a good time. Do you appreciate this, or is this the moment when you say, Pro, by the way, I hate doing this, and I would rather stop?
No, it's kind of fun when we can get together and do a one-on-one kind of thing. I have fun when I do that with Marv as well, when we get together to do things like that, so it's a good time.
All right, folks, you see the little thing at the bottom there? Share, like, subscribe. You know what to do, and let's dive in right now. The hubris of one James Gunn may have cost him a bunch and may be the end of him at DC, and we're starting to see that right now. At It's Just Nick is posting this. Says, interesting how Warner Brothers deleted this clip from all their channels because it made Gunn look like he had creative differences with his actor. Now, folks, we can't play this because it's copyrighted. I can't play it for you. But I would highly recommend you go watch it. It's basically James Gunn having a huge argument with David Cornsweet, the guy who plays Superman, when they're making the movie. And David Cornsweet's right. He's trying to play Superman the right way. And James Gunn is having none of it because James Gunn is basically saying, this is me. Superman is me. You're going to play this the way that I feel. And finally, David gives up and is just like, whatever, man. It seems like this is a pattern for James Gunn. You know, just like we saw when Kathleen Kennedy couldn't stop dropping directors and trying to find just the perfect person to insert her the way that she wanted. That sounds badly, doesn't it? I self-insert as a brunette every single... I just give up. I've already dug the ditch. Hollywood Reporter, though, Boris Kitts, as this says, behind the Supergirl bomb, competing cuts, creative differences, exclusive. And what people need to know is that the trades, they put out the orthodoxy of Hollywood. The Hollywood Reporter is one of the trades, and so they're telling you what's okay to say right now in Burbank and Los Angeles, across the Sunset Strip. What can you say if you work in the entertainment industry? What should you say? Well, you should say that James Gunn is in trouble. I'll read the first two paragraphs, and we're going to drop down to what's important. It says, usually test scores go up, up, and away, but this March, the scores for Supergirl actually went down when DC Studios held a bake-off, testing competing cuts from filmmaker Craig Gillespie and from the studio run by James Gunn and Peter Safran. Now, the funny thing about this is those dropping scores may have been because James Gunn forced the scores to drop down. We're talking about before the movie could be released, these test screenings may have been adjusted to drop. We'll explain. Let's go down to what we need. Here we go. It says there were signs things were getting better, talking about Supergirl and the test screenings deep into winter. Test scores improved and finally hit the low 70s. Which is to say, this was still not good. However, rather than continue to tinker away on that cut, now remember, Lauren, that would have been the Gillespie cut. He's the director, right? Rather than tinker away on that cut, the one that got to the low 70s, still not good, the studio decided to force a bake-off by creating two cuts. Two new cuts, Lauren. Two new cuts. Gillespie had to make another cut, not the one that he had gotten to the low 70s, but had to make a new cut. And that had to go up against one by the studio. In other words, I believe this was engineered to fail. It says it's unclear what major differences emerged, but one source says Gillespie's version was 11 minutes longer, featured more of the villain. When the two competing versions tested, the score surprisingly dropped significantly, although the studios inched out ahead of Gillespie's. Now, when it says the studios inched out of Gillespie's, Lauren, what does it mean, the studios? Whose is the studios?
That would be Gunn's cut.
Isn't it funny how they don't come out and just say that? James Gunn's. Who runs the studio? James Gunn. What is the studio's cut? It's James Gunn's cut. James Gunn decided to step in and start tinkering around, forced two new cuts, one of which is his, and then said, oh, by the way, mine's better, and put his out. I think Gillespie's the one who's taking all the hits on this. But Hollywood, remember, the trades are here. The Hollywood Reporter is telling everybody else in Hollywood, no, it's okay. It's open season for James Gunn. One more paragraph. It says, and in many ways, the strategy remains intact. Despite the setback, Gunn and Safran will continue to guide the ship. It is unclear when the duo's contracts are up. Wait, well, since when is it unclear? Hang on. But sources believe it is either the end of 2026 or the end of 2027. By then, DC Studios will have released not only Clayface, the modestly budgeted horror movie centered on the Batman villain, but also Man of Tomorrow, which Gunn is currently directing and which is slated to open July 9th, 2027. The Batman Part 2 for Matt Reeves is also in production and has an October 1st, 2027 date, but stands separate from the DCU. Now, this is very interesting to me, Lauren, because it seems to me that what they're suggesting is that Gunn could leave by the end of the year, which I don't believe is true, but they're suggesting that that's possible. But they're saying the contract's up next year, and they don't seem to believe that James Gunn and Peter Safran are going to be along as a duo past 2027. And I don't think they're going to be around much longer either. So, Lorne, what happens if DC drops these guys this quickly? Do we do a whole nother set of rebirths and restarts and origin stories and all that stuff again? Or what do you do here?
This is a really big problem for them. Because remember, we're not talking about just James Gunn's DCU. We're also talking about Snyder's preceding it, which went on for the better part of a decade and also flopped. And then they brought him back and had him try to recut the movie to put it out for fans to give you his version after he had been replaced by Joss Whedon and others. And while that may have satisfied those fans and got them interested in trying to have Snyder come back, I don't think that's a likelihood either. So you've now had the better part of the last 10 to 15 years of two men both burying the DC universe. Who's going to want to come in and want to try and fix that? Who, and what studio is going to give them the kind of creative control they just gave James Gunn? They're not going to do that for a second time. So the issue is anybody who comes in to try and fix this has got a massive undertaking on their hands, and they're going to have the studio watching them like a hawk, trying to interfere and do everything by committee. Meanwhile, DC Comics hasn't got a clue what they're doing anymore. They're running into the same issues that Marvel Comics ran into when they started injecting all of their ideology stuff into it. They don't have a lot of great source material to work with unless they go back and do the past stuff. There's nobody on earth who's going to want this job. It's going to be absolutely thankless.
So let's talk about just how bad things are, because for James Gunn to be done this quickly, as we said, DC has been scrambling. I mean, outside of Christopher Nolan's Batman movies and Wonder Woman, I mean, really what has worked, you know, You can say that they've had some financial successes, but nothing has worked at every single level, right? Where you're like, oh, this is a great story, this is great acting, this is great, you know, financial success. So they have struggled mightily. But nothing has struggled so much as this. And this is the second film that James Gunn is putting out under the DCU. And at this point, Lauren, after this last weekend, Supergirl now will struggle to get to 150. And people might say, Pro, come on, that's not true. Two weekends, $100 million. Okay? When we talk about legs, we usually say that a bad film is going to still get 2x to 2.5x on the legs, right? We've already got the first week, the second weekend done, so the opportunity to grow is out. I mean, and if you look at the collapse, I mean, you can see the graph here, and you go down to the weekend, a 74% drop, we're going to be down, the next weekend is going to be down to making like $4 million. For a weekend. So the idea that this is going to get $200 million, it's just done. It's gone. And now you got places like Cosmic Book News saying James Gunn has already lost 70% of DC fans, Lorne. And they go through the list of things that James Gunn has going. Let me go through that real quick. We've got Lanterns, which that's going to be, I mean, that's number one, that's streaming. But number two, boy, that came out to lackluster response. You've got Clayface, which is a horror film with a tiny budget, and, you know, maybe it'll make some money, but it's a horror film. That's not going to grow the franchise or DC one way or the other. It's its own thing. Jimmy Olsen and Gorilla Grodd, that's so silly. Creature Commandos, don't care. It's a little tiny cartoon. Man of Tomorrow is all they have. And Lauren, what's got me paying attention to this is they have not announced anything past next year. Usually with superhero films, and superhero franchises, Lauren, usually we've got announcements by now. We know years to come. All that's gone. Man of Tomorrow is all we're sure they're going to do. Yeah, they're talking about Wonder Woman. Yeah, they're talking about maybe they'll do a Batman. Oh, we cast Batman. Maybe a silhouette will show up in Clayface. But we don't have anything that we legit know. This is really going to happen. This is really going to take place. So I think that they might want to keep him around just to walk the carpet next year. And then see ya. Bye-bye.
If I were them, the first thing that I would be setting as a mandate is whatever we do next, we're not going to start off with a cinematic universe. And I know that's what they want. I know they want to create a franchise right out the gate. But I think you're going to have to start doing this the old-fashioned way. I think you're actually going to have to start earning the cinematic universe, and that means you're going to have to start with standalone films. I think doing an origin story is not what the audience wants anymore. I think everybody knows the origins for these characters. So you're going to have to start with the assumption that the audience knows something about them. If I were them, and this may be kind of a weird choice, and I don't know if he would be interested, and I wouldn't say this is somebody that should be like the franchise director, but I would start, go and see if Ben Affleck is available. I know that he originally had a Batman project that he wanted to do, which was going to be Batman versus Deathstroke.
Now, real quick though, Lauren, he can't stand, as best we can tell, James Gunn. So you're suggesting this is a hypothetical where Gunn is gone.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This would be just for a single standalone film. I would want to go back and see what were Ben's plans for a Batman versus Deathstroke. And I don't necessarily want him to play Batman for this. I could see him writing it. I could see him directing it. I know that he really wanted to lean on Batman as detective, which we don't often get. I was really excited to hear what he was going to do with that, and I think that Batman is kind of where you're going to have to start. I think they've poisoned the well with Superman right now, which is unfortunate. So back to Batman we go, and then see how that does. Dip your toe in the water. Don't do the cannonball into the pool like you did with James Gunn.
Let's talk about likelihoods for box office right now. So we don't know yet the budget for Man of Tomorrow because it's still shooting. Right, and we could come up with a budget, but really what we're talking about is the cost. And we certainly won't know the marketing for it because we don't know if it's going to get Super Bowl commercials, you know, will it have worldwide tours? We don't know any of that. But what we can say, Lauren, is that now that we've had Superman, I think that was their best chance to gather up momentum, and that came in lower than they wanted. I said it needed $700 million to be seen as a success. It turns out in congressional testimony that was true. Fancy that, eh? It came in just above $600. Now you've got Supergirl, which is catastrophic. I mean, this may be the biggest flop in the history of superhero films, which says a lot. We've seen some stinkers, and this is beating Joker Part 2. And so now we're looking at Man of Tomorrow, and this comes out next year. If Superman could barely break 600, and Supergirl does this, you've lost the momentum. So now what I think, Lauren, is I think we're looking at probably, if I had to guesstimate where this goes, 400, 450. For a global box office for Man of Tomorrow. I mean, we're way early on that. It could be the greatest thing ever, and then we'll ramp it up a little bit. But I don't think audiences are excited about this. I don't think that a Lex Luthor film is what people wanted. I don't think any of this is what people wanted. I think this is what James Gunn wants. And the problem is James Gunn doesn't want Superman and Batman on lunchboxes. He doesn't want these characters, you know, in animated form that 8-year-olds are consuming, and that's the market, that's the demographic, that's what these have always been for, and you want to make it so adults can enjoy it too, but James Gunn wants to make hard R-rated stuff that deals with his inner demons, and Superman's not that man.
Yeah, and also, he's already said that Millie Alcock is going to be part of the next movie, and I think that she was PR poison for Supergirl. And she's going to be an anchor on Man of Tomorrow as well. If I were them, that would be the first cut that I would be making, because you're just going to remind people of why they don't want to see your movie.
Which one do you think Angry Joe should beg more for, Clayface or Man of Tomorrow? We'll see it for your boy.
If they want Gunn to continue to be running this project, Man of Tomorrow is the one that needs to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that there's a high likelihood of that, but that's the only one that you can place a solid bet on. Because, again, this is a Gunn thing. he likes to deal with the B and C tier characters, and Clayface is a major Batman villain, but who outside of the Batman fans knows that? Who in the normie audience knows who Clayface is? You're going to have people that are understanding that this is a horror film that are not realizing that it's taking place in the DC universe. So I think that's your sacrificial lamb.
I'll show you one more thing, Lauren, and I predicted this would come out. I told my Patreon, we handle the really spicy stuff over there. I told my Patreon exclusively that this would start coming out, and it's beginning to now. It's looking like the Ellisons, who are about to run Warner Brothers, that they've paid some money to do some investigations, some polling at a high level of just how unpopular woke is in these kinds of franchises. If they want to make an unwoke version of DC, I don't think James Gunn can do that. I don't think he can go back and do Guardians 1 and 2 again, because I think that only happened because Ike Perlmutter was there kind of keeping him in bounds, and he was new. I don't think he's willing to do something, where Superman is Superman, where heroes are heroes and villains are villains. I don't think he's into that. I don't know that. And if he's not passionate about doing what the Ellisons are wanting to do, something that's traditional.
I think he's not passionate on the big mainstays. He likes dealing with the quirky side characters, and he's got a particular sense of humor. He struggles with sincerity, and I think that's the real hitch in his giddy up when it comes to this kind of thing. If you can't do sincerity, you can't do Superman, and that's why he had to have the Justice Gang in there. There was no way in his mind to make Superman work unless he had the Justice Gang that could be the characters that he likes to focus on.
Can I throw another one at you, Lauren, though? You can't do Batman either unless you do sincerity, because Superman and Batman are the same character on two sides of the coin, right? One is truth, justice, and the American way, and one is I am the knight, right? But it's the same idea. They're both striving for the same thing, and they're both very serious characters. And at the heart of that is their earnestness. And if you can't do that, if you can't do the sincerity, that's the two big characters of the universe. You can't get them, you can't get
Gunn has already admitted that he doesn't like Batman. He thinks he's a boring character. So
Well,
this is my greatest nightmare, is the last thing that I want Gunn touching is Batman, because we would get a Batman who is not Batman at all. He would completely reinvent that character. And again, it's just another anchor on this version of the DCU.
yeah, I think we've all had enough of seeing, the dog pee on the image of Superman, and we've had enough of the Supergirl vomiting in order to win a fight. I mean, all that I think is done. Society right now, it seems to me, folks, is aiming towards real heroes doing really heroic things, and I think the anti-hero age, the era, is kind of at an end. Folks are looking for truth and goodness and justice and kindness and hope and optimism, and cynicism seems to be of a bygone decade. Sorry, James Gunn, but you might also be bygone. Folks, you tell us. Let us know down in the comments below. What do you think about the story? What do you think about James Gunn? Is he done? Did you see Supergirl? Were you offended? And are you amazed at the box office? 150, probably the top. Will he stay? Will he go? Let us know. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.
So, I see you've stooped to a new low.
A new low? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm on a new high. I'm flying on sunbeam light. You might say I have sparkles and protons in my eyes.
Right. Well, everyone's gonna see straight through this. Packing protons gives the Pro Channel a ton of money to watch terrible movies, and, well, you want in on it.
Yeah, and your point?
It's obviously a grift. It's blatant. It's cardboard and Sharpie. It's over the top.
It's so me.
Yeah, it's very much you.
And do you know the best part?
No.
I actually love bad movies. They're all I watch. I could sit lifelessly with joy watching these things, and packing will pay me money to do what I already enjoy into the wee little mornings of every day. Ah, sweet Birdemic and Garbage Pail Kids back to back. I know one little troll who's not gonna sleep tonight.